I'm thankful that He does know our hearts and He knows our lives, and glad that He always meets the need of our heart, aren't you? I don't always know how to please Him, but I sure strive to. And I'm sure you feel the same way. You don't always know how to please Him, but I do know this, that what pleases Him is faith. Just believe Him. That's what He wants out of us, is just to believe Him. Be turning your Bibles, if you would, please, this morning, the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6. And I'll read from verse 19 down through verse 21. I'm really not sure the direction God will have me to completely go with the sermon this morning, but I want to preach to you today on the treasures in heaven. The treasures in heaven. When you find Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, if you would, please stand in reverence to God's Word. We'll read down through verse 21. If you're at verse 19 of chapter 6 of Matthew, would you say amen?
Amen.
Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But here's my text today. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye be single, thy whole body shall be put full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness. Let us pray. Father, we come before your presence again this morning, thankful in our heart, Lord, for your loving kindness to us. Thankful, God, for your great mercies that you have upon us. Thy word says that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, that your compassions, Father, are new every morning, and great is the faithfulness of God. You're a faithful Creator. And you're a faithful Lord to your promises to us as your children. We recognize our inabilities and our weaknesses and frailties. And we also recognize the depths of our sin. And we know, God, today that without the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for the remission of our sins, we know that we would be a helpless and a hopeless people. But through the blood, God, we've been cleansed by Jesus Christ from our sins, and our sins have been cast behind your back according to the Word of God, and they have been drowned in the depths of the sea, and they'll never be remembered against us again. Life is full of sorrow for some folks. This week has been tough on some folks that I am acquainted with, losing a loved one, and they've mourned the passing of that loved one, and their hearts were broken. And most of the family, God, of the one that passed is not Christian. I had the privilege, Lord, of leading this young lady to Christ. And all through her days of life that I recall, she carried a burden for her whole family because none of them seemed to be interested in Jesus, whom she loved. She prayed for them, she talked to them, and they looked upon her as a religious fanatic. But when her days of life had ended and her days had passed here, they recognized that they should not have been as maybe unloving or unkind as they had been, Lord, about her faith. Because when we shared with them the message that you gave us, I know, Lord, that you spoke to their hearts about their own personal need of salvation. And I pray that you'll bring them to that place in life where, like their sister Barbara, they will give their heart to Jesus. I pray for our families in Oak Lane. God, we all have someone in our family that we're praying for the same experience to happen with them. That you would save our children and our grandchildren. And that you would save our neighbors and friends and loved ones. And God, we pray that we could see a great and mighty thing happen in the land of America. A real revival break out, where many souls, God, would be swept into the kingdom of God, and many, Lord, would know what it means to have peace with God in their heart. Our Father, we pray for those in our church that will soon be facing major surgeries, that God, your hand is with them and upon them, and that you'll be with them all the way through unto healing. We pray for those, our Father, that still mourn the passing of a dear loved one. This side of heaven, God, it's hard to let go. But oh God, if we could see them on the other side, it'd be so much easier for us. We just have to trust your word, God, and we do trust your word. There's treasures in heaven. Lord, we can't even begin to comprehend the things that you have prepared for them that love you. Lord, this morning I pray that you'll encourage every heart that's in this house and you'll minister to every need today. When we leave here, God, I pray that each one of us will have received from you what we needed for this hour. Lord, I pray that you'll lay us in the heart of the people, that they'll pray for us. We're growing older, our body's growing weaker, and we can feel, God, the weariness of all the tasks that sometimes is laid upon us day by day. I pray for my brethren in Kenya, Africa. I know, Lord, that they're suffering deeply in that country from poverty, and they're suffering horribly from the pandemic. And I pray, God, that you'll have mercy upon our pastors there and our brothers and sisters in Christ who are struggling just to get by day. Lord, I pray for those that are still battling the pandemic here in our land, that you'll heal their bodies, God, as only you can. It thrilled my heart to see Sister Wanda here. I know she watched us online. There's nothing like the presence of someone that we love and miss. And I'm thankful for her presence here today. Thankful, Lord, for Brother Tim's daughter, Joelle, being with us and her friends. And thankful for every individual, God, that's here this morning. Bless each one special, I pray. When all has been said and done, this service is over. I hope and pray, God, that you will have all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, because you are worthy. Thank you, God, for being with us through the meeting yesterday. And thank you, God, help our churches to honor you and to glorify you and to do the work of God that you've given us to do in this land. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Got to have some water to build some steam. When I think about treasures in heaven, there's a lot of things that I could perhaps talk about. But I know that heaven is the place that awaits all of us that are here today. We're not going to heaven just by chance, but we're going to heaven by choice. We choose to give ourselves in faith to the one who loved us and died for us, who came from heaven to this earth and went out on the cross and purchased for us an eternal redemption, an eternal salvation. And when we put our faith and our trust in Him, we begin our experience of walking with Jesus through the course of this life. The Bible says that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the joys that God has awaiting for us when we get to heaven. I've seen some beautiful things on this earth, and I've met some precious people, and I've had some good things happen to me here upon this earth that I praise God for. But there's nothing that has ever transpired in earth that will even compare with what that first look in heaven will be like when I leave here to see the Lord Jesus. As I thought about the sermon and the text that I read, if you call last Sunday, I preached to you those that are worthy of being happy, the blessings of the Lord. And this is actually a continuation of the same sermon that Jesus preached out on the Mount when he was given the blessings or the Beatitudes out. And Jesus comes to the place where he talks about what we are to be in the earth. We're to be the salt of the earth. Because God has given to all of us a savor in life, meaning that we have an influence in this life. And we can make an impact upon people's lives too, because we're not only the salt of the earth, but we're the light of the world, or the light of the earth. Jesus is the light of the world, but we're the light of the earth. And the Bible says that we're not to put our candles on hide it under a bushel, but we're to place them upon a candlestick and let the light of God shine in our lives and through our lives, that other people might see the good works of God in us and they themselves would be turned unto the Lord. Jesus also in his sermon went far enough to say that your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and of the Pharisees. They were those who were religious in Jesus' day. And our experience with God has got to be more than just a religion. It's got to be a relationship that gives an evidence that there is a rightness in us that is not of ourselves, but it is the power of God in us that's working, that has changed us from the creature that we was in sin unto the person that we have become in the Lord Jesus Christ. He also in his sermon was concerned about our prayer life. And he wanted to encourage us that as we go through this life on our way towards the treasures that are awaiting us in heaven, that we have a prayer life and that we seek unto the Lord. Chapter 6, he said in verse number 5, when you pray, don't be as the hypocrites who love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the street, Jesus said, to be seen of men. But rather, Jesus said, enter into your closet and pray to thy Father which seeth in secret, and he will reward thee openly. There's nothing more wonderful than to have a secret place that you can go and alone and meet with God and tell him all of your troubles and all of your needs, and then watch God begin to work in your life and bring those things to pass. But then Jesus not only was concerned with our prayer life, but he was concerned about the treasures that we would seek here upon earth. He is not about trying to deprive us of our treasures, but he does want to direct us in the choice thereof. And all of us have earthly treasures that are valuable to us, and they mean a lot to us. For an example, we treasure our own people. I love my wife and I appreciate her, and I'm thankful that God put her in my life, and that I've had the privilege of sharing the years that she and I have shared together. God gave us 4 children that we love and that we're thankful. They're a treasure to us in this world. They're still a treasure in life today. I'm thankful for my 11 grandkids. I'm getting more grandkids, you see, and I'm thankful for those grandchildren. I think I've got 6 girls and 5 boys. I don't know why God would give me more girls than boys, but that's okay. They're still a treasure from God, and I appreciate them and love them. Never see them, but what they make me feel happy in heart and light in heart joyful, because I recognize that they are the heritage which God has given me here upon this earth. And all of us have treasures of people that we love, dad and mom. If your dad and mother still living, you're fortunate, you're blessed to have your mom and dad, and love on them, because you'll not always have them and they'll not always be here. So appreciate your mom and dad for as long as you have them. And if you've got a living brother or a living sister, love on them too. You may not always agree with them, and you may not always appreciate the way they choose to live life, but they're still your brother, they're still your sister, and you need to show them your love and kindness as long as you live. But not only do we treasure people here on earth, but we treasure possessions that we have. We have houses that we appreciate. We have lands that we're thankful for. We have cars that we enjoy driving. I'm glad I don't have to walk. I'm glad I didn't have to walk all the way to Berryville yesterday to be in that annual association. Now, my walk isn't bad to come to church just across the yard, but aren't you glad this morning you had a good car to get in to drive to the house of God? People say, oh, I like the old-time way. Well, I like some of the old-time ways, but I don't like having to get out there and crank on that car in the front in order to get that engine going. How many of you grew up, don't raise your hands, but how many of you grew up taking baths in the same water? I did that, and I didn't like that when I was a kid, and I don't like it today. To me, bath water's the nastiest thing in the world. That's why I like a shower. It washes you off and it gets rid of it, and it's gone for good. But there are possessions in earth that we appreciate, like our cars and our boats and our campers and the finances that God gives us. Life would be hard if we didn't have some of these possessions that God allows us to enjoy while we're living here on earth. And then we treasure our pleasures. And life can't always be work all the time. I know some people, they think I've heard my dad used to say to us boys, all play and no work makes a jack a dull boy. And I used to turn and say to my little brother, and all work and no play can make a jack a dull boy also. Every now and then you need to just take some time out and just stop and take a deep breath and rest a little bit and relax and enjoy some pleasures of life. How many of you glad God put fish in a stream for you to catch? How many of you glad God put some deer running the field so you could hunt them and kill them? And I could just go on and on about those things. If you think about the life that God allows you to live here on earth, there are some really precious treasures to the earth that you and I are enjoying. We don't realize how good they are till they're gone. You won't realize how to love your people like you will when they're gone from this earth. You will not realize how you treasure your possessions until you lose some of those possessions. And then you won't realize how great pleasure can be to you when you no longer can participate in pleasure. And so all the treasures of these things that Jesus knows that you and I have on this earth, He doesn't deprive us of those things, but He does want to help us with our choice. And the most important choice that He knows that we're going to need to make here on this earth is, what about our heavenly treasure? I want to ask you this morning, beloved friend, what is your heavenly treasure today? What are the treasures that you have personally took inventory of and looked upon to see are your treasures being laid up in heaven? There's some reasons why I want to talk to you about that this morning. The Bible says we brought nothing into this life, and when we leave this life, we're not carrying any of these things that we've gained as earthly treasures with us when we leave. I'm not suggesting at all this morning that anything you've gained on earth is not good or that you shouldn't have. I'm glad God allows us those things, but those things are fleeting, and they're not but for a temporary time, and the day will come when you'll close your eyes in death and take your last breath, and you'll leave this earth and go home to be in heaven. Or if you're not saved, I don't even want to talk about the horrible place that you'll go to if you're not saved. That's why it's important in this life that you understand that there is a treasure even now that we need to follow after and we need to pursue that is in heaven. So this morning, let's talk a little bit about some of the treasures that are in heaven. First of all, there is a person that's in heaven this morning that I treasure. You could say, Brother Mike, who is that person? Is it your daddy? I treasure my daddy. He's there, but it's not my daddy. Well, it's got to be your mommy. No, I treasure my mama. She was a wonderful lady, and she's gone too, and she's in heaven, but it's not my mama. I've got two brothers that I treasured here on earth. We had sweet fellowship, but it's not them. But the one that I truly treasure this morning, and you've already figured that out, is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is a real person today. I've never met Him in the flesh, but I'm going to. I've never seen Him with my natural eyes, but I'm going to. I've never heard Him speak in an audible voice in my ears, but I'm going to. I've heard Him speak by the Holy Ghost and through the Word of God. Oh, but to hear Him say it Himself, that's going to be a glorious day. He's the person in heaven that I treasure most. Why, Brother Mike, do you treasure the person of Jesus so much? Why does He mean so much to you? Because when I was in sin and had no hope, and when I was without a covenant and had no God, when I was on the road to destruction that would have led me into eternal separation and damnation from God, He stepped out of heaven and became a man in this earth by the power of the Holy Spirit that was conceived in His mother's womb. And He was virgin conceived and virgin born when He came into this earth. He came as the God-man, 100% God and 100% man. He had all the power in heaven and all the power in earth to do everything that would be needed to be done for me. But He decided that He would come and dwell in human flesh just like I am. He would experience the same infirmities, the same heartaches, the same sorrows, the same troubles, the same struggles, the same trials. He would even experience what it was like to go through death. Jesus Himself wept over death. He loved Lazarus. He loved Martha. He loved Mary. And when Lazarus died and He saw them weeping and sorrowing, partly He sorrowed because they seemed to not understand who He was. And I think in life sometimes we have sorrows because we fail to rejoice over who He is. Martha said, Jesus, if You'd have been here, Lazarus would not have died. And
Jesus said, Martha, Lazarus will rise again. And she said, oh, I know he will, Lord, in the resurrection of the last day. Why do we need to wait till then to get our blessing? Why don't we get that blessing today? Jesus said unto her, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He that believeth in me, even though they're dead, yet shall they live. And my favorite verse is John 11:26. Whosoever liveth and believeth in him shall never die. Martha, do you believe this? She said, I believe you're the Son of God, and whatever you ask God to do, he can do it. She didn't realize that she was talking to God. He was God in all power and might, but he was also man and fully man. And he went down to the grave and said, take that stone away, and I'll show you that I'm the resurrection. I'll show you that I'm God. I'll show you that I'm the one that has purchased treasure for you. And he looked down into the regions of death and cried with a loud voice and said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus got up out of the grave and came forth. I'll promise you that in the resurrection morning, there's going to be a lot of shouting. Yes. A lot of happiness in that day. And that's why I treasure Jesus most. On Memorial Day, I usually go by my parents' grave, my brother's graves, and I place a flower on that grave, knowing there's nobody there, only the earthly body they lived in is buried there, and it's decaying and going back to the earth from whence it came. When I place that there, I'm placing it in honor of them, in memory of them, and in love toward them, and the respect that I have for who they were, and how I treasured them while they lived here. But you know what makes me happy? My wife can tell you this. I've stood by the grave lots of times. And I said, man, it'd be wonderful if those things had burst open. And they'd shoot up out of there. And I'd shoot up with them. What are you talking about, Brother Mike? Jesus coming in the clouds of glory. And we which are alive and remain unto his coming shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Bible says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wonder if when some folks are going up there shouting, hey dad, hey mom, hey brother, hey sister. That'll be a glorious day. I don't know what it'll be like, but I can tell you this. The world will be full of joy. I treasure the person of Jesus Christ in heaven because not only did he become a God-man, and not only did he become the redeemer of my soul out on Mount Calvary, but he became the conqueror of death, the enemy of my soul. He went down into the regions of death and manifested his presence there and took the keys of death and hell away from the devil. And when he arose from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, just like he said these words, I'm he that liveth and was dead and I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of death. I have the keys of hell. I'm not afraid of death this morning, church, because there was a time when I was under the sentence of death and condemnation because of my sin, for the wages of sin is death. But Jesus already entered into death for me and took my sins when he went on the cross, and he paid my debt of sin, and he paid the cost of my death. Physical death may come to me, but it will not be a frightening experience, and it will not be an experience that is a horrid thing for me. It'll be like every day of life, laying down when you're weary and going to sleep, and then waking up in the morning refreshed to a new day. Some morning mine eyes will awake. Some morning I'll see the King of Glory. Someday I'll see the resurrection and the life myself. Someday in person I will be able to stand before him and thank him for his resurrection life. I'm glad that he is my resurrection. But I'll tell you another reason he's a treasure to me is because he's my mediator. He's the one that goes between me and his heavenly Father. When Jesus ascended back to the heavens, the Bible said that he went in and he was seated on the right hand of the throne of God. And there he is seated to make intercession. If you ever needed somebody's help, you ever needed someone to come to your aid. Some friends of ours, most of you know, we just went on vacation with and just got home. And the lady of the family that we went with, they She called every day to check on her mom because her mother's getting aged and she's by herself and she don't get around good. And she had lined up people to go and check and make sure mama was okay. And I told her one morning, I said, I appreciate how you see after your mama, even though you're hundreds of miles away from her, you see after, and you've got people in place and in position and ready if something happens. And they got home and she had a good time with her mom, and her mom was so glad to see her. And you know, when you get older and you're by yourself, those days get long. Those nights get even longer. And they get the longing to talk with somebody. She said to me when I got home, she said, I guess it was like mom hadn't seen me ever in life because she talked about everything. And she said, hour upon hour stretched from one moment to another, mama having to tell me things I already knew. But said she'd laugh about some things, she'd cry about some things. She said they weren't funny and they weren't mournful to me because the only mourning I want to do is I've done heard all that. But she said, I listened anyway. And it made her mom's day. Well, yesterday they go down to help their church get cleaned up. They're getting ready to reopen their new sanctuary. And her mom fell. And the phone was away from her. She didn't know what she did, but she knew she couldn't move any direction. And she laid the whole day in the floor. And when her daughter got home and she went up to check on her mom because she wouldn't answer her phone. Her daughter tried to call her several times. She wouldn't answer. When she went in, she found her in the floor. And she was crying. And she was growing weaker. And her daughter hurried over and knelt beside her and said, Mama, what happened? And she said, I don't know. I just fell. And she said, I've been here all day. And she said, it's getting worse. And everything around me seems to be closing in and it's getting darker. And they took her to the emergency room and found out she broke a hip. And Monday morning, they're going to have to try to do surgery, and possibly today, this morning, they're going to try to do surgery, and there's a possibility that if they can't fix what they need to fix and the way they need to fix it, that she'll never walk again. And so they've asked me to pray for them, and I'm asking you to pray because you know the worth of prayer. Pray for her. Her name's Helen. But the burden and the brokenness that she felt, that Teresa felt when she's telling about her mom. But do you know something? That there's a surgery that can happen in heaven by the healing Jesus that's on the throne. Mm-hmm. You know what Helen did? She told her daughter, she said, I think I've made it because I kept calling him. And I kept asking him for help. How many of you are glad that Jesus is your helper? Yes. See, she needed someone to intercede, but there was no one for the whole day till her daughter got there. But when her daughter got there, her daughter could intercede at that moment and could help her. But I'm glad that he's a treasure. Jesus, the person Jesus, is a treasure for me because of the very fact that when I call, he can hear me. Yes, and he can answer me. Right. And he can help me with my need. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's so much that I could tell you about the person Jesus. The treasures in heaven, listen now, the treasures you lay up here on earth, did you hear what Jesus said? Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth. We serve ourselves sometimes so diligently and so determinedly that we want to live, lay it up and eat, drink, and be merry. There's a rich man who did that in the Bible one time. His fields brought forth plentifully. And he didn't know what he was going to do because his barns wasn't big enough to fill, to put all the stuff that he was having come out of the harvest. And so he decided he'd tear down those barns and build bigger. And he would lay up all those goods. And here's what he said. Then I'll say to my soul, take thine ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. You know what Jesus said? Thou fool. See, here's what Jesus wants you to understand. And this is why he's concerned about the choices that you make, your treasure. Mm-hmm. It's foolish to think that just because you get a great harvest or you gain more, that you've got to have bigger places to store so you can take your ease. You don't know what a day will bring. You don't know what's on tomorrow. You don't know what the day will be before it's over today. And the reason Jesus said he was a fool is because in that night, his soul would be required of him. Mm-hmm. Meaning that that was the day of his death. Do you know the day of your death? Do you know the hour of your last breath upon this earth? Do you know of your appointed time? You don't have to get sick to die. And you don't have to have an accident to die. When it's your appointed time and that hour comes, your death will come. And the question that Jesus wants you to answer within yourself, have you made preparations for that moment of time? Because it's coming. And it's a foolish person who says, well, I'm young and I don't need to do that. Or I've lived through to my middle ages. Surely I'll live to my older ages. The Bible says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. We need to get acquainted with God when we're children and serve Him all the days of our life. He's a treasure that will save you from sin and from death and from judgment. But I want to tell you another thing that's in heaven that's a treasure to me, and that's the promises of God. Not only is the person a treasure, but His promises to me. Why is that so important? Well, I've had people promise me things in life that they didn't carry through. And to be honest with you, I've promised people things in life that I didn't carry through. When any of us think that we are without sin, we need to pick up the stone and throw it first. Jesus said, if you're without sin, you cast the first stone, the man that was accusing the woman of adultery. So when somebody has disappointed you or somebody has failed in a promise to you and didn't follow through with it, that is disappointing. But before you judge too harshly them, stop and think about, have you ever done that? And you'll answer that real quick, because in the same sermon as Jesus was preaching, you know what He said? Judge not that you be not judged. Because with the same measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. See, however strict you are on others, God will be that strict on you. You know what Jesus said? First pull the mote, beam out of your own eye. And then He said you can see clearly to get the mote out of your brother's eye. A beam is a lot bigger than a mote. So what Jesus is saying compared to what you've got going on in you, and you're judging the other person, they only have a mote, you've got a beam. That's why we'll do well, folks, if we'll just understand that we need all of the promises of God that He's given us. The greatest promise that Jesus ever made in the Bible was this. That He said, whosoever believeth in Me, they shall not perish, but they shall have everlasting life. Why did He make that promise? Because He said, God loved you. God so loved you. I don't understand why God loved me. I didn't give Him a reason to love me. I never done anything that was deserving of His love. But I didn't have to, because His Word said that even while I was a sinner, He still loved me. And whether I would ever serve Him or not didn't cause Him to withhold coming to this earth as the God-man and going out on the cross and securing my promise of eternal life. When He was dying on the cross, He said, Father, forgive them of their sin. They know not what they do. Do you know that Jesus wasn't just praying that for the crowd that was there that day, but He was praying for you and I to have the forgiveness of our sins. And the greatest promise that God has given us is eternal life. This is the promise that He said, I give to you in 1 John 2:25, eternal life. That means you'll never end. See, you're going to live forever no matter what, whether you die and go to hell or you die and go to heaven. You're going to live eternally. And I want to tell you this morning, friend, you don't want to die and go to hell, and neither does Jesus want you to die and go there. And that's why Jesus said He didn't come to condemn you, but He came into this world to save you. And all the promises, Peter said, of Him are yes and amen. I don't have to wait till I get to heaven to receive those promises. He has promised that He'd never leave me and He'd never forsake me. How many of you are thankful for that promise? Amen. How many of you, though, if you'll be honest enough with yourself, have been lonely and you've been in a place and you've been in a difficult situation in your life where you wondered where God was? I sat down last night and started studying. And because of the pressures of some days of life and because of the struggles of ministry, I don't work physically hard like some of you folks do. But I'll tell you this, the things that happen to me mentally do take a physical stress upon my body. And sometimes I had a cardiologist tell me this. He said, I want to look at your throat. And I'm thinking, you're not a throat doctor. I didn't come to you to look at my throat. He was a heart doctor. I said, what do you want to look at my throat? He said, just let me look at your throat. And he took that little deal and looked in there and he said, yep, yep. And I'm wondering, what's he thinking? Yeah, he said, I can tell you what kind of preacher you are. I said, what kind? He said, you're a hellfire and brimstone preacher. I said, you can tell that by looking in my mouth? He said, yeah, you've screamed so much. He said, it looks like a cave in there. You've expanded your larynx. And he said, you may not understand this, but you go and study this. 30 minutes of preaching hard like you do is equal to 8 hours work on your physical body. But I want to tell you something. I'll stand any day and preach hard over all the pressure and stress and lies the devil comes at me with. Amen. All of the frustration. You know, when you go through life and you've met people that's shown love to you and they've been kind to you and talk to you how they appreciate you and how they love you, and then because you don't always agree with them, you see their visage change. And you see their attitude change. And you ask yourself the question, was it that difficult that they decided that I'm not that same loving person that they thought I was before? And so I said, I got down last night and prayed, said, God, now all this stuff is behind me and all this pressure is over with now. I just need to be at peace. And you know what, old Scratch, and the reason I call him old Scratch, I used to have a little old woman in the church. She came in on a cane. Her little old body was so twisted. I wondered why she even tried to come to church sometimes, because she was miserable in pain with arthritis. But I'll promise you, if she was able to get there, she was coming. And she'd come in and I'd say, Sister Jessie, how you doing? And she'd say, old Scratch has been after me. But she said, I come to scratch him back. Fight him back, folks. Fight the devil. Don't give in to him. How many of you know that the Bible says he's like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour? And you can't whip him. You can't defeat him. But the one that is giving you promises can.
That's right.
Last night, here's how I got the victory over him. Jesus said, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And I said, Satan, get away from me. And I didn't sleep a lot last night because I didn't have my message until this morning. Actually, I didn't have it until I sat down up there. And you may go out here and say you still didn't have it. But the Lord said to me, do you treasure me? I said, I sure do. What do you treasure about me? I said, I treasure you as a person. As a God-man, truly God, truly man. I treasure you because you know who I am. You know what I go through. You know what I feel, what I experience. You know my weaknesses and you still love me. You know my failures and you still love me. So I treasure you as a person. Amen. Is that all you treasure? And I said, no, Lord, I treasure your promises. That regardless of what I feel like, you've promised me eternal life. And I treasure that. He said, well, I want to tell you some things you ought to treasure too. Thank you for treasuring me as a person. Thank you for treasuring me as a promise. And again, I could preach all day about his person and his promises. But treasure me for the possessions that I'm laying up for you over here. But he said, don't forget there is a possessions that you'll place here. Now listen to me carefully, because this is the most important part of my message. You're not going to lay up cash in heaven. You're not going to lay up to build you a house when you get there. Jesus is already building your house. And it's better than anything you've ever had here. It's a mansion. In fact, you don't even have to worry about getting some asphalt company to come in and pave your driveway and pave your streets, because the streets there is all made out of gold. Some of you will be kicking up gold dust when you get there. Amen. If there's any dust in heaven. But the greatest possession Jesus spoke to my heart here and told me this morning to tell you that you lay up in heaven are the people you love, that you personally win, that'll go to heaven when they die. What do you mean personally win? It means that you love them enough that you won't let their anger stop you from telling them you love them, that they need to be saved. You won't let their way of life cause you to back up and say, I'm not going to tell them. They know what's right. No, they don't, folks. Listen, the sinner does not know he's the right way. If they knew the right way, they would not live the wrong way. And so they live the wrong way because they do not know the right way. Jesus, if you think that, oh, I'll just leave them alone, someday they'll seek the Lord. You need to listen to what the Word of God says. There is no man that seeketh me. No, not one. There's none righteous. No, not one. You love your dad, if he's not saved, he'll not go to heaven and be your treasure in heaven that you'll have as a possession when you get there, unless you tell Dad, Jesus, Dad loves you, and Jesus died for you, and Jesus said you need to be saved to go to heaven. When are you going to do that? Mom, Jesus loves you, and you got to be saved to go to heaven. Son, Jesus loves you, And you cannot go to heaven unless you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins. It's a simple message. But we don't need to make this thing complicated. We need to understand that we're not doing the job in this age that we're living in. We're not doing the task that Jesus left us here upon the earth. We're not laying up in heaven the proper treasure. The proper treasure is every soul that you win to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I've married some young people that I've counseled about marriage, and when I preached a funeral last Friday night at 6 o'clock, and I told my wife when we started home, I said, well, I'm still an old preacher that's learning new experiences. That's the first time I've ever preached a funeral service at 6 p.m. in the evening. But now you see, they cremate people because funeral services got so high that people can't even afford cremation, barely. And they're going to get that so high eventually you won't be able to afford that either. And so they can have service anytime. And we had a 6 o'clock service. And I preached this young lady's funeral. She's 52 years old. And I remember when she wanted to get married, and she was giddy and giggly and happy and excited. And I said, why do you want to marry this guy? Because I love him. And I'm thinking, you don't even know what love is. You young people don't know what love is until you stick it out for a few years. Then you'll learn what love really is. And I said to him, why do you want to marry her? He said, I love you. You know, the thought never occurred to me that day, they'll outlive me and I'll preach both their funerals. I preach their wedding, I'll preach their funeral. I did preach both of their weddings, and I've preached both of their funerals. But you know what I'm glad about most of all? Mark, I didn't know. I talked to him about his soul, and he told me he was saved, but you know everybody will tell you they're saved. But he never sat under my ministry where I could work with him and watch him and observe him. But Barbara, Brother Arliss, I knew. I was there when she broke in her heart, and she said, I am a sinner, and I can't go to heaven this way, can I? And I said, you sure can't. And she said, all I do is ask. I said, that's all you got to do is ask. And she said, I'll ask. I said, let's do it now. And she did. And God saved her. And that's what you've got to do if you want to go to heaven. And one of the things that God has given me is I've got possessions in heaven for all the preaching that I've done over the years. People have been saved in my ministry here in America, in Mexico, in Africa. But I've won a lot of people personally to the Lord. But Oak Lane, I want you to listen to me. You need to start laying treasures up in heaven by reaching out to people that you love and encouraging them to get saved. That's the most important possession that you'll have in heaven. I want us to get a song ready this morning of invitation. What are your treasures? There's a lot of things I could talk about today. You have a mansion, that's a treasure. You'll never be sick again, that's a treasure. You'll never have any more pain. That's a treasure, ain't it, Sister Wanda? God said something that I have watched over the years, and it still hurts me, Sister Ellen, Sister Nina. When people lose their loved ones and I see their broken hearts over the passing of a loved one, I see that deep sorrow that hurts and breaks their heart. And I'm thankful that every time I see it, the Holy Spirit says to me, I'll wipe those tears from their eyes one day. And I'm glad I know this person who's given that promise. And I want to tell you, that is a treasured possession that Jesus will lay up for you. He'll wipe away those tears. You know what? In heaven, there'll be nobody that will snarl at you. There'll be nobody in heaven make an uncanny remark towards you. There'll be nobody in heaven that'll think they're better than you or more important than you. There'll be nobody in heaven that'll ignore you as though you don't even exist. Everybody in heaven will love one another. And the reason we will is because of that one person that's the greatest treasure of all. Amen. Jesus, the Son of God. Is He yours today? As we stand to our feet, Father, I pray this morning. You know, I've basically repented all night because I've worked all week and studied and searched and came down to... And I've been here before God, and it always makes me uneasy. I think sometimes as preachers, we think we've got to bring some grand thing to say in the pulpit. When maybe, God, we just need to relax, listen, let the Holy Spirit tell us what needs to be said. And I feel with all my heart, though I've done such an inadequate job of it today, that I needed to tell folks here that there's treasure to be laid up in heaven. The greatest treasure that's already there is the person of Jesus Christ, my mediator and intercessor. And for me, He's laid up promises and He's preparing possessions that I'll enjoy for all of eternity. But the command in His message was is for me to lay up treasures, not on earth where rust and moth can corrupt it or where thieves could steal it, but in heaven where none of those things can ever touch it. It's there and secured forever. I have a treasured daddy there and a mom. I have two treasured brothers there, two treasured grandmothers and grandfathers, a whole host of beloved people that I've been privileged to preach with and minister to, deacons that I've loved and that are there and I've served with, brothers and sisters in Christ that we'll meet over there. But I'm glad, Father, that the first treasure that I spoke of today, I won't have to wait to get to heaven to meet Him. I've met Him in faith here, but I'll meet Him in person in the clouds. And the Bible said, so shall I ever be with the Lord. Who here today, God, has not this treasure in their heart? Would you speak to them and call them to yourself today? And let them just ask you for forgiveness and invite Christ into their life. Who here that has ever possessed that treasure, that has done like the woman in the Bible that had 10 pieces and lost one, and she lit a candle and swept the house and searched? They need to understand that the Holy Spirit's been sweeping and the light of God has been shining, and they can be restored today and rededicate their life. And God, I pray that folks will go from here and look at their sons and their daughters, their daddies, their mamas, their children, their families, God. And I pray that you'll put an ache in their heart and a burden in them. I want that treasure to be with me in heaven. And they'll witness to them. And God, help us as a church to start winning souls for Jesus Christ. Not just on Sunday here at church, but wherever we meet people, God, and they'll pray, help us to lead them to Christ, I pray. As Ryan leads our invitation this morning, whatever people's needs are, God, meet with them today, would you please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Ryan, as you sing.